I walked into HEB yesterday to pick up a couple of things, and as I walked in the door, I had to walk through this big archway of pink and purple and red hearts. And as I walked through the archway, there's these tables that lined each side of it that are just full of flowers. Guys, this is your reminder that Valentine's Day is coming up. You've got about 10 days, and if you go to the grocery store, they're not going to let you forget it. And if you go to buy something Valentine's related, there is a shape that goes with Valentine's Day, right? Everything seems to be in a heart shape, from those little candies that you like as a kid and then you eat as an adult and think, why did I ever like this, right? Everything is in the heart shape, because Valentine's Day is all about that sort of that mushy romantic feelings that are there in the heart. And the heart, right, that the romantic feeling kind of stuff, that's the way that our culture has defined the idea of the heart. But as we open our Bible, we get a completely different picture of it. If you've got your Bible, open with me to Matthew 5, and just know this morning that as we look at the heart and try to understand the biblical concept of the heart, when God's word says heart, he's talking about all of us. He's not just talking about this emotional or romantic feeling. God is talking about our essence, our being, really who we are deep down inside at the most deep levels of ourselves, right? And this matters because how we live our lives, it just simply flows from who we are, right? Well, whatever is inside, whatever makes us up, is going to come out every single day in the way that we act, live, move, think, and breathe, right? How we live flows from who we are. If you're taking notes this morning, the title of our sermon is A Kingdom Heart. And if you've missed the last couple of weeks, just know we're in the middle of a teaching series called The Kingdom Project, and we're looking at the kingdom of God. It's the most talked about subject in all of Jesus' messages in the New Testament. In Matthew 4, he begins his teaching and preaching focused on the kingdom of God. In Acts chapter 1, the last conversation he has with the disciples before he ascends to heaven is about the kingdom of God. He is focused on the kingdom of God, and our goal in this series is to understand the reality of it, and then, right, as part of his kingdom, to do what we can to advance it here on earth. We've defined the kingdom as this, the realm and the rule of God's reign. So the kingdom of God, it's where God rules and where God reigns. And if we're part of the kingdom, what this means now is our hearts have been made new. God rules and reigns in our hearts, in our lives, and the characteristics, the very makeup of what's inside of us has now been changed by Jesus. It's got to start there. Before we can ever talk about what we can do for the Lord to advance his kingdom, before we ever talk about actions that we might want to undertake as citizens of the kingdom, first we've got to look inwardly at our own hearts. What God wants more than our work, what God wants more than our service, more than religious activity, is our heart. He tells us in the Old Testament that's his plan, right? To give us a new heart. Ezekiel 36, verse 26 says, I'm going to give you a new heart, a new spirit I will put within you. I will remove the heart of stone that's in your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. God's saying, I'm going to give you a soft heart. Verse 26, I'll put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. We know that new heart, that change comes about because of Jesus. We don't manufacture that. Right, that is completely the work of Jesus in our lives. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. Behold, the old is gone, the old has passed away, and the new has come. When we trust in Jesus, God's word says we become a part of the kingdom of God because it's now Jesus that rules and reigns in our hearts. He's made us new from the inside out. And in Matthew 5, Jesus gives us a picture of what that new heart should look like in the life of a believer. Matthew 5, it's the beginning of Jesus' most famous sermon. Maybe you've heard of it. It's called the Sermon on the Mount. And in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus gives us this snapshot, this picture of what life and the heart should look like in the kingdom of God. As Jesus speaks here, just know, and we're going to look at it the next couple of weeks, he removes any sense of spiritual complacency we may have. Right, as we read the words of Jesus here, we're going to see that there's no room for that in the kingdom. He removes the ability to like be in, you know, one day and out the next day. That there's no wishy-washy here in the kingdom, right? It's this high standard that Jesus sets forth, that there's no doubt about it. It's a standard that's so high that you and I, we can't achieve it, at least not on our own, right? But we can live this out through hearts that are made new by Jesus. As we get started, I really want you to remember this. We're looking at Matthew 5. Jesus is not saying, live like this, and then you can become a part of the kingdom of God. Jesus is saying, live like this, have this heart within you, because you are a part of the kingdom of God. And at the very beginning of this sermon, we have what is called the Beatitudes, right? You'll see it there in your copy of God's Word. Starting in verse 2, and beatitude is a word that means blessed. It's a word that means happy or content or filled with joy. So over and over again in the Beatitudes, Jesus is saying, hey, blessed is the heart that's like this. Content is the heart that's like this. Filled with joy is the heart that is like this. He's giving us a picture of the kingdom heart, this new heart that belongs to those that have trusted in Jesus. And just see that this new heart, it's a blessed, happy, content heart. It's a heart that is unfazed by the junk that's going on around it, a heart that doesn't find its joy in the up and down circumstances and emotions of this life. It's a heart that's blessed because it is ruled and reigned by Jesus. That's what we see in the Beatitudes. They're like a spiritual x-ray of the heart. We've had a few guys in our church family recently go and get some checkups done on their heart, and talking to these guys and hearing them compare notes. Some of them have been checked out and all is good. Some of them have been checked out and there's some work that's needed to be done. Some of it a little bit more serious than others. And as they talk about it, they talk about what the doctors did before they took action. And what they did in every case was the doctors worked to get a clear picture of the heart. They used x-rays and they used MRIs and they did all kinds of other pictures and fancy cameras and everything because they wanted to know what they were dealing with before they really got in there to get going. As Jesus speaks in Matthew 5, I want you to look at this and think about this like a spiritual x-ray of the heart. If you want to know what your heart's like, and if your heart is a reflection of a kingdom heart like Jesus talks about here, listen to him, right? He's going to tell us. And as we look at this morning, just understand and know that there's no finish line here, right? That there's no point in our life on earth where we get to the end of this and we put a big check on it and say, I'm done. I think I've got it. I'm completely and perfect here with my heart. It doesn't matter how long that we've walked with Jesus. We don't arrive right at that level until we're at home with Jesus in eternity. So this morning, as we look, if you sense that there's some spiritual heart issues going on this morning, just get honest before the Lord today. Ask him to reveal those to you. Ask him to show you those next steps. Be willing to seek him first and let him do some work on your heart. Maybe you'll see some areas where your heart doesn't reflect a kingdom heart. Maybe you'll see some areas where sin has crept in and it is blocking intimacy with the Father in your heart. Maybe you'll see that some of the things that you are putting into your heart need to change. Maybe you're going to realize that you're not on a spiritual, heart-healthy diet, and the things that you're putting in are preventing you from walking closely and intimately with our Heavenly Father. That's our prayer this morning, is that we would be open-hearted before the Father, that we'd ask him to speak to us, and that we would be willing to listen whatever he's calling us to do. Look at verse 2. It says this, and Jesus opened his mouth, and he taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now, this has nothing to do with finance. To be poor in spirit means to understand who we are and who God is. It's understanding that the world doesn't revolve around us, and at the end of the day, when it comes to our right standing, when it comes to our salvation, we don't bring anything to the table. It's completely a work of God the Father. Think about it as sort of a potluck meal that you're getting together with friends. Somebody brings a main course, a few different people bring sides, somebody brings drinks, somebody brings dessert, and as long as everybody does their part and brings it to the table, you can sit down and enjoy a nice meal together. That's not how it works with God. Right? Well, when it comes to our salvation, we don't bring anything to the table. We sit down to a feast provided by God and God alone. We have nothing to offer that can save us. We have nothing to offer that's going to make us right. It's all Jesus, right? A kingdom heart shows complete dependence on Him. That's our first point this morning. In that x-ray of the kingdom heart, we see that it is completely dependent on God and God alone for our salvation. Not what we can produce, right? It's all about our Heavenly Father. Next, verse 4. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Oftentimes, this verse is read in seasons of grief. We'll read it in time of loss, or someone close to us loses someone, and we might share this verse because it says in the verse that we'll be comforted by God when we mourn. And the reality of that is true. Psalm 34 says that God is close to the crushed in spirit. He's near to the brokenhearted. 2 Corinthians 1, one of my favorite chapters in the Bible, tells us that our God is the God of all mercy, He is the God of all comfort, and He will be with us and He will comfort us in our times of affliction. So the concept and the promise of a God that comforts His children when we grieve and go through pain, that's reality. Old Testament to New Testament, we see God doing that. But that's not the kind of mourning that Jesus is speaking of right here. The mourning that Jesus speaks of here is grief over sin, right? That's the kind of mourning when we see evil or sin in this world and it causes us to mourn. When we see people or a world drifting further and further away from a Heavenly Father, it causes pain or sadness in our hearts. There's a lyric to a worship song that I really, really like. It says, God, break our hearts for what breaks yours. That's what we're talking about here. Seeing sin and that sin causing us to grieve, right? Instead of laughing sin off, instead of making a lighthearted joke about sin, instead of overlooking sin, man, the kingdom heart, when we see sin, man, we feel pain because of that. Because we see actions, activities, habits, patterns that are not glorifying to God. It causes us pain. We see people engaged in that. We know they're drifting further and further from the Lord, and it causes us pain. We know they're missing the goodness of God, the grace of God, the mercy of God. We know they're not walking in an incredible fellowship with God. We know what they're missing, and it causes us to mourn. Right? Kingdom hearts, I mean, they hurt when we see sin, right? That's on the x-ray there, a kingdom heart. And when we look inside it, it's holy passion, right? Passion for what God's passionate about, right? And when we're passionate for what God's passionate about, anything that goes against the heart of God, it's going to hurt our hearts, right? We're going to grieve, and we see here that God's going to comfort us in the midst of that. Verse 5, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Right? Our x-ray of the kingdom heart here, what we see is we see gentleness. We need to understand that meekness or gentleness, it is not weakness. It's the opposite. Right? Meekness, gentleness, it is strength under control. The meekness that Jesus speaks of here, it's not someone that's timid. It's not someone that's indecisive. Jesus speaks of someone with great self-control, and He's talking here about someone with a great sense of godly purpose. Someone that knows that the purpose of a believer, one whose heart is ruled and reigned by Jesus, is ultimately to live like Jesus, who was the ultimate servant, right? He didn't come to be served, but to serve and to give His life as a ransom for many. No matter what our status is in this life, no matter what we've achieved or where we are or what's going on in our world, what we see here that we're called to serve. And serving others means looking away from self. Blessed are the meek, the gentle, the servants. And if you have trouble with that word, with that word meekness, if it still feels too much like weakness to you, I'm just telling you that you've let the world sort of define that for you. Shake that definition off and understand that with meekness there's incredible strength. In the Old Testament, in the book of Numbers, Numbers 12, verse 3, it says that Moses was one of the meekest people to ever walk the face of the earth. Think about how strong Moses was. Moses walked into Egypt to the courts of Pharaoh, the strongest man in the world, and made the insanely radical demand to let my people go. All right, I'm going to take them and we're going to leave Egypt together. All right, think about the strength and the courage and the boldness to say that and then to do it and to walk those people out of Egypt. Later in Matthew's gospel, we see it describe Jesus as meek and lowly of heart. Well, what did Jesus do when he walked into the temple and saw people taking advantage of the poor that had gone in to worship? Jesus flipped tables. Jesus got a whip and drove people out. Unbelievable strength, but controlled and used in a way to serve others. It's a reality of the kingdom heart. Verse 6, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. We know what it's like to be hungry, right? Some of you can't wait to get out of here and go to lunch. We'll be on time. You're good. But you've probably never known intense hunger, not going several days without a meal. Maybe some have. Probably most of us haven't, though. The people that Jesus is talking to, many of them had. Jesus is in rural Galilee at the moment in Matthew chapter 5, and there's a lot of poverty there, especially in that era. And so Jesus knew that they would have understood this intense hunger and the satisfaction that comes after having a meal, after being really, really hungry. And so what Jesus does is he takes this physical feeling to help us understand a spiritual reality. He tells us that a kingdom heart, a heart that is ruled and reigned by Jesus, that it's going to hunger, it's going to thirst, it's going to have these desires, these longings, but it's going to be longing for righteousness, which means a right standing or right living before a holy God, right? And on the x-ray here of the kingdom heart, that's what we see. We see this hunger and thirst for righteousness. And Jesus says that if we are longing for that, for spiritual righteousness, if we are longing for holiness in our, like if that is our desire, he says that we're going to be satisfied. We're going to be filled up. You know, for a family celebration a few months ago, we ended up at one of those Brazilian steakhouses. And I don't know if you've ever been to one. They're really sort of a cool experience. And it really, our kids had never seen anything like it. Because what happens, the waiters, they walk around and they've got steaks or meat on these swords and they put it down in front of you and they slice it off onto your plate. Here's a picture of my youngest at the table there. And I mean, he is loving it. And the way that it works is they give you this card, green on one side, and on the other side, it's red, right? If it's red, that means I don't want any more. If it's green, that means bring it on. This joker ate his body weight in steak that night. He was on green the whole night. Look at his face, his facial expression in this next one, right? He was giddy. He was giddy, right? He was hungry for it. He left it on green. I'm telling you, they filled him up. They did not stop. It kept coming to him. Please understand that Jesus promises us that as we long for righteousness, like if that's what we really, really want, if that's our desire, if it's for holiness, he's not going to come around to us and say, you've had enough. He's not going to come around to us and say, you're full, you can't have any more. He's not going to come around and say, I've already served you, I need to go serve someone else. He's saying, listen, if that's the longing and the desire of your heart, hey, you're going to be satisfied. Jesus is going to fill you up with that righteousness before him. Look at the verse again. It doesn't say, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will attain it themselves. It doesn't say, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. If they work really, really hard, they can get it. It's not it, right? This is a given righteousness, not an achieved righteousness. The blessing here, the miracle here, is that God fills us up. If you desire that spiritual growth, if you desire that righteousness before God, if you desire a heart that is on fire for God, a heart that is drawing close to, if that is your desire, Jesus says you won't be disappointed. Right? That's what's going to happen in your heart. Verse 7. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Right? Characteristic of the kingdom heart here, if we're looking at the x-ray, it's just tenderness, right? A heart that's tender, a heart that doesn't just see needs, but a heart that is willing to meet needs and you understand the difference, right? A kingdom heart doesn't just see a need and feel bad and walk away. Right? That's not mercy, right? The merciful, the tender heart is one that does whatever they can to meet the needs of people around them. 1 John 3:17, if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, but closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? And the answer is it doesn't. So yesterday, there was a group from our church family, and they were here. It happens every Saturday morning. People show up, and they serve the hungry in our community through our CMC. It's our Community Ministry Center. People are here. They show up. They serve. That they pray with people. That they meet physical needs. They meet these hunger needs. They meet spiritual needs. It's a great thing that flows from tender, merciful hearts. On Sunday mornings, people bring bags of groceries and they set it down in those grocery carts so we can do the same thing the following week, right? This ministry of mercy and of a tender heart. In the first service, there's a guy sitting right back down here in this row, and I was talking to him about his week and what's going on, and he was having a conversation with one of his coworkers and realized that his coworker didn't know about Jesus. And so they spent a lot of time talking about it. He saw a spiritual need there. His heart was merciful and tender towards this man. And so they began to talk about Jesus. He gifted this guy a Bible. They've been talking together. They've been praying together. And this conversation is ongoing, right? He saw a spiritual need. He was moved by mercy and a tender heart to help meet that need. Verse 8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Now, this has to do with lifestyle, right? This has to do with a moral cleanliness. The x-ray of the kingdom heart here shows us purity, right? A kingdom heart desires purity. It desires to live a life free of sin. And when we know this, but that life free of sin, it starts in our hearts. Powerful phrase. It's been around for a while. I don't know who to give credit to. Just know it didn't start with me. I heard it, and it has always stuck with me. Purity paves the way to intimacy. Purity in our hearts paves the way to intimacy with God. Jesus says the one that's heart is pure, he says, you're the ones that are going to see God. Meaning that in this life, you're going to hear from him, you're going to see him, you're going to experience him on a deeper level, that there's more intimacy between you and the Father. And of course, this has to do with the idea of that in the future kingdom, right, it's those that are pure that are going to be there, because nothing defiled will be in the kingdom of God. Ephesians 5:5 says, you can be sure of this, everyone that is sexually immoral or impure or who is covetous has no inheritance in the kingdom of God. We see the same concept in Revelation 22, 1 Corinthians 6, Galatians 5, and again, and Hebrews 12. And they all speak to this idea that impurities are outside of the kingdom, which is why Jesus says only the pure in heart will see God. Now listen, just confession, I can't make my heart pure, right? I can't make my heart clean and free from sin. Can't do it. But Jesus can. That's what we talked about at the beginning, Ezekiel 36. He's going to take the old heart out and put in a soft new heart. 2 Corinthians 5 says, if anyone's in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone, this sinful, impure heart, it's gone. And you're made new in Jesus. And so he talks about this new heart that he can give us. And that happened for me when I was 13 years old, when I trusted in Jesus as my Savior. But here's the deal. As someone that trusted in Jesus, even as a kid, I still live in a world that's full of sin all around me, right? And you do too. And so as we read, blessed are the pure in heart, for those that are the ones that are going to see God, understand that a clean heart, a pure heart before God, it happens when you trust in Jesus as your Savior, and you're forgiven. And so as we read this, man, what jumps out to me is we've got to be people that are willing to guard our hearts, to keep our hearts free of the sin that's going on in this world. We've got to desire purity in our hearts. We've got to desire hearts that are free from this love, this attachment to sin. Guard your hearts. Keep them pure. Matthew 6 and Proverbs 30, we read in God's word that so often what comes into our life through our eyes affects our hearts. Be careful what you look at. Stay pure. Keep your heart pure. Be careful what you listen to, what you allow to come in. Keep your heart pure before God. Jesus says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Verse 9, blessed are the peacemakers. They shall be called the sons of God. It's the next thing on the x-ray there, right? Peacemakers, a kingdom heart, it just loves to make peace. Read the verse again. Not blessed are the peacekeepers, blessed are the peacemakers. The world needs more of this, right? People that don't stir up controversy, but instead people that seek a resolution. People that jump in the middle of the fight and push everyone that's in it towards restoration. What does Jesus say about the peacemakers? Who are they called? They're called the sons of God, right? And Jewish thought back then and even today, to say you're the son of someone means that you share the same characteristics. You're a chip off the old block. The apple doesn't fall far from the tree. That's this. Peacemakers are called the children of God because that's what God did through Jesus, right? He sent Jesus to make peace between God and man, to take care of that sin problem that we have in our hearts and in our lives. And listen, that was an active thing, wasn't it? Jesus actively stepped out of heaven and came to earth. Jesus actively lived the life that he lived. Jesus actively allowed himself to go to the cross, right? He was actively in pursuit of peace with us. Blessed are the peacemakers, those that are active. They are called sons of God. Let me just say, if conflict and drama and controversy seem to be the pattern that's following you around, you're missing this, okay? Peacemakers, not the pot stirrers, are the ones that are called the sons of God. Verse 10, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely. On my account, rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Just as there is a kingdom of God, there's a kingdom of darkness. We talked about it last week. There's an enemy in this world, Satan. He's doing what he can to stop the advancement of the kingdom of God in our world and in our hearts. And so because of that, there's a lot of people in this world that do not live under the rule and reign of Jesus in their hearts. Think about how different they must see the world than followers of Jesus. You better believe that as citizens of the kingdom, bringing light to darkness and being salt like we're supposed to, it's going to agitate or burn or rub some people the wrong way. And as a result, there's persecution that might happen. There's suffering that might happen. And when that happens to us, what does God's word tell us to do here? It doesn't say to complain or get even. It doesn't say to get easily offended by what people are saying. We see here the call is to rejoice because we know that ultimately our reward is in eternity, right? Looking at the x-ray of the kingdom heart here, we see that the kingdom heart is resolute, right? It stands firm, it stands strong no matter what it faces on this earth. And when we put it all together, And just look at this complete x-ray of the kingdom heart, what we should do is ask the Holy Spirit to work in us like only he can. We should get honest before God and just ask God, where is my heart right now? As I look in your word, I see that a kingdom heart, it's dependent on God. It's grieved by sin. It's gentle. It's righteous. It's tender. It's pure. It's peaceful. It's resolute. Right? That the kingdom heart that is this, right, that is under the rule and reign of Jesus. We see Jesus say over and over again, it leads to a blessed, happy, content, joy-filled life. This morning, I want to encourage you, take some time to look at the x-ray of the kingdom heart, and then to consider your own heart. Ask God to speak into your heart, into your life, wherever you're at, and do what he says. Right, as you look at this x-ray of the heart, he might be saying, hey, listen, that there's not that hunger and thirst for righteousness in you. You need to cut some time out of other areas of your life and spend more time in the word with me, in prayer with me, so I can really build in you that hunger and thirst for righteousness. You might read this morning and you might have the Lord speaking to you saying, hey, listen, there's some impurities growing in and around your heart, right? Rather than being saddened by sin, you've allowed sin to creep in. You need to guard your heart. Maybe he's telling you to do that this morning and to cut some of those things out, right? That's confession. That's repentance. That's asking him for forgiveness this morning to remove those. Or maybe this morning you read this and you just see, you know what, that there's some stuff that has clogged up or blocked my heart. I've been dependent on myself, not dependent on a Heavenly Father. Maybe you just need to ask him to get in there and through time with him, clean some of that up. Listen, whatever God is revealing to you in your heart right now, I want to encourage you, be obedient to do it, to move on it. Don't let it sit and then move on. Let God do some work spiritually on your heart today, because ultimately a kingdom heart is what leads us to a kingdom life. Right, and we're going to see that next week as we continue in the Sermon on the Mount. Would you bow your heads with me this morning? And let me just ask you, with our heads bowed this morning, don't rush out. Don't rush to the next thing. Just take a minute. Say, God, look at my heart this morning. Just say that before him. God, help me to see and understand my heart. Help me to look at it in light of a kingdom heart here. And whatever God's telling you to do, just commit to him right now. Say, God, I'm willing to do it. I'm willing to do the heart work. If you came in here this morning, maybe somebody invited you, or maybe you just stopped in, or maybe you don't know why you're even here, and you heard that a kingdom heart is a heart that's ruled and reigned by Jesus, a heart that is trusted in Jesus alone for salvation. If you would say, you know what, I haven't done that, or that's not me, I would encourage you before you leave here today to let that be your reality, to talk with one of us, pray with one of us. Let us open up God's word with you to show you what it looks like to trust in Jesus as your Savior. You heard Adam say earlier, 90 people did that this weekend at our church. They trusted in Jesus as their Savior. And we saw in Ezekiel 36, when that happens, right, that old heart, it's gone. And spiritually, we have this new heart because of our faith in Jesus. That's you this morning. Don't leave here today without doing that. Stop in our prayer room at the end. Let us pray with you about that in your life. Maybe you're in here this morning. There's something else going on you need to pray about. There's things you need to cut out of your heart. There's longings that you need to make sure your heart are filled with. Whatever God's calling you to do from his word, tell him this morning. You'll be obedient to do it. God, I pray that you'd help all of us, Lord. Be honest and open with our hearts before you. God, and if there's anything in our hearts that shouldn't be there, God, if we have hidden some sin in our hearts, God, if we have hidden this dependence on us, God, if we're holding anything back from you, God, I pray that you do the work in our hearts, that your Holy Spirit would move, God, that you'd remove those desires, God, and help us to day by day hunger and thirst for righteousness, trusting, God, that you will fill us up. It's in your name we pray.